This evening, I get the opportunity to consider the topic of courage, and that's what I'm going to speak on. And I'm not speaking really about the courage in the general sense, as far as being an admirable character trait or something that we're looking at is to seek or cultivate. But I'm talking really about specifically what it means to a Christian in its daily their daily life, and the need that it's a basic and essential virtue that you need to have in your daily walk. And it plays such a large part in everything we do as a Christian. And the reason I came up with this subject and this this message was always when Pastor Troy tells one of us that we're going to be teaching, first we start scrambling and deciding what we can and can't do and what to look for. And we're always looking for something to kind of inspire us and lead us to the message that we want to speak on. The topic of courage struck me when one evening when actually Patty and I were watching some movies that actually we'd seen before. We were watching The War Room, and then we followed that up with the movie Courageous, and we hadn't seen it in a while. And also from that derived the book The Resolution for Man, written by Stephen and Alex Kendrick, and which I'd also purchased that. And watching that movie again and the message from that movie kind of struck me. That's what I really wanted to talk about is that movie. And if you haven't seen it, it's basically a powerful story about some strong Christian men and fathers whose influence, both with their children, their family, and their community, is immeasurable. And the book follows the movie. And the book is more in the format as a challenge to men of all ages in order to get more serious and intentional about embracing their role and the responsibility as the spiritual leader of their home and in their community. And so really what led me to this, in the book, it has at the ending of it, it has a resolution, which I'll probably finish that off at the end of the message. I'll go through that resolution, but the scripture was Joshua 24:15, and it said, "As for me and my family, we'll serve the Lord." And so it had me reading into Joshua, and so the message is going to be centered off of Joshua 1:8-9, and so I'll just read that scripture to get started, and then we'll delve into. Really, I want to break this into two things. It's really kind of talking about where courage is, as far as why it's basic and essential to the daily life and our daily walk as a Christian, and then talk about the qualities that it takes to be courageous in that walk and everything. But the scripture is Joshua 1:8-9, and it says, "The book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it at day and night, that you may observe to all that it is written in that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So I really want to first talk about courage as far as what it means as far as our daily walk and really kind of define it as far as separate it from what we typically picture courage as far as an heroic event or something that only these superheroes or somebody in outside of what we think we can do pulls from and everything. The Merriam-Webster dictionary really defines courage as mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand. And that can go on to withstand, persevere, and venture into any challenge, opportunity, or situation that confronts you. And it sounds strange kind of be talking about courage. And I'll be using that word an awful lot this evening because I think it's something that we need to have embedded within us to understand that we all have that courage within us. We just need to focus on it. We just need to have the wherewithal that God has given us, that internal strength to be able to step forward and do as He's called us to do. But we usually think about courage as things such as with heroism, as such as a firefighter going in into a fire or the military or soldier getting ready for war or a police officer or first responders that are going out to protect and to serve. Or you can look at it as something like extreme sports. It takes courage to do a lot of extreme sports like bungee jumping or rock climbing, or now I think they call it free climbing now, or skydiving. And some of these are called heroic events or acts of heroism. I personally consider those particular things acts of insanity. I would not do any of those. And so people perceive courage as something that has to be extreme or unusual and something that's life-threatening situations, but that's not the case. Most of the time, we view our lives as more in tune with being gentle and kind and loving and having integrity in what we do. We don't really think about the courage that it takes to come into play in our daily lives. It's not the same as heroism. The courage that I'm referring to, courage is not just an extreme used in extreme situations. It's basic and essential for every other virtue that we're involved in. And that doesn't matter whether it's in your faith and love and kindness, gentleness, temperance, whatever that is. It takes courage to participate and experience those virtues. And possessing courage entails those qualities that enable us to face any kind of difficult, dangerous, disappointment, despair, death, or any other number of D's that life throws at us. It is there to make us able to handle those situations. It's putting our faith in action is what courage is. It's to have the courage to act in accordance with our beliefs. And one of the things that we need to do as Christians is to have conviction and able to stand up for what we believe in. And it doesn't matter what the situation is. And a lot of times we look at it has to be a major event. But it can be as simple as being kind to somebody that has done something wrong to you. It takes courage to take that first step and be kind to that person. If somebody is, it's hard to love your enemies. But that's what God calls us to do, and it takes courage for us to do that and everything. An example of having courage or being conviction is an article I just read recently. And it comes from I don't know if many of you know, the football player named Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow is a former quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner from the University of Florida. And Tim Tebow has an extremely strong conviction and dependence on his faith. He does a tremendous amount in the Christian community, and no matter what kind of repercussions he's faced in the NFL and other areas of his life, he's always stood strong in those convictions. And recently he made some comments in reference to an incident that happened at the University of Maryland this summer, a tragic incident where a football player died from overheating during one of their off-season workouts. And there was a huge outcry to terminate the head coach at this time. And so they did a thorough investigation, a long, lengthy investigation into the circumstances, the safety measures that had taken into place. And at the end of that investigation, it came to the conclusion, the Board of Regents came to the conclusion that the head coach was not at fault. And so they publicly announced that they were going to retain the head coach. Immediately after hearing this news, there was a huge outcry, particularly from social media, from a lot of people that were responding. They didn't even know what was going on, but they're just out there responding to the fact that this incident happened, and yet they retained this coach. They don't know all the facts that are going on there, and they reply and they respond to this incident. And within a week of this public outcry, the Board of Regents elect to terminate the coach. And so Tim Tebow spoke up, and this is what he said. "I want these presidents and ADs," which are athletic directors at the colleges, "to stand up, and when you say something, have it mean something. Let's be men of our word and have character when we say something we believe in. We must have conviction, have respect, stand up for what you believe." And subsequent to releasing this statement, Tim Tebow appeared on various radio stations, TV shows, and everything, and stood firm on his statement and his convictions. And that's what we should be doing as far as have the courage to do the same. In 2 Timothy 1-7, Paul said that God has not given us a fearful spirit, but rather a mind that is sound, a heart that is filled with love, and a power to face our fears. Courage is not all about the superhero stuff and what you see on the TV and the movie theaters, but it's about the courage to face up to what we do on a daily basis, the challenges we face on a daily basis. it's really determines as far as when those challenges and those opportunities, those crises, no matter how small or large it is, it really measures how we're going to respond. Are we going to respond with conviction and courage, or are we going to cower at that moment? Are we going to make a decision, decide what's right over what's convenient, or choosing our conviction over what's comfortable for us? And that's an easy thing for any and all of us to do, is to choose what's the easy way out, not even making the decision. But remember, courage is the strength, the moral and mental strength, to venture out, to make a stand. And so it is incumbent upon us as Christians to have courage and not be afraid to say we have the courage. That's probably one of the virtues that we really lack or really kind of push back, that we don't feel we have the courage to do things. But we do. God has given us that power to overcome whatever fear and obstacles we have. Now, I don't know if a lot of you remember the old Andy Griffin movie, TV series. And it was with Sheriff Andy and his deputy, Barney Fife. Everybody remembers Barney. And the little town of Mayberry. So in this one episode, you have this situation where Sheriff Andy has to be out of town for a while, and he leaves Barney in charge. And it just so happens that there's a series of bank robberies that are going on in the area at this time. And so, and again, as it would happen, there's a resident walking down the street, and he sees flashlights going off in the bank at night. He comes dashing into the jail and tells Barney that, "I think there's a robbery going on at the bank. I see flashlights in there." So Barney gets up and he's all jumping all over the place, deputizes the gas attendant, Gomer Pyle. And so Gomer and Barney, I don't know if this is the right word, but schlepping over to where the towards the bank, and they're going real slowly, hiding behind a car across from the bank, and all of a sudden they see these lights flashing in the bank at night. And Gomer says, "Shazam! The bank is being robbed. We need to call the police." And Barney, bug-eyed and trembling, says, "Oh my gosh, we are the police." And so just like Barney and Gomer, we all have fears. We all have fears that we have to deal with. But we're responsible for policing our own lives and responsibilities on a daily basis. And no matter what life throws at us. So it's safe to say that we all need courage to face the day-to-day obstacles, the world's challenges, and not let the fear that's within us debilitate us or paralyze us with anxiety over any of the issues. We need to have courage so we don't cave in and compromise our convictions due to a difficult situation. But unfortunately, many come short of the courage needed because they really aren't content, either content where they are, or they don't understand and allow themselves to enter into the joy and the fullness of the inheritance that God has given us as children of God. You know, one of the things God has promised, an inheritance to all of us, and He has given us an all inheritance, but the thing it takes is courage in order to accept that inheritance, because you have to learn to obey and follow God. And it takes courage to do that. And it's with such courage that the Apostle Peter stood before the very same Jewish authorities that challenged him and threatened his life and sought his death in Acts 4:10-12. Peter, after healing the crippled man at the gate called Beautiful, Peter said, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man here stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And remember, this is the same Peter that before, he is standing before the Jewish authorities and proclaiming the only one in way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. And these are the same authorities that he ran from when they arrested Jesus and denied knowing Jesus 3 times. Peter's not any different than any of us. He has fear, but he overcame his fear. He found He found his belief and his faith in his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and was convicted to pronounce and stand by his beliefs at that point. And most of us don't believe that we can do that. We just don't feel that we can take that kind of stand. And we're not always called to make that kind of stand as Peter was. Our lives aren't going to be threatened. But there's sometimes that somebody may question where our position is, or where we stand as far as being a Christian and our beliefs. And rather to defend our position, we may cower. We don't believe that we can be like a Peter or any of the other men and women that we read about in Bibles or the biographies about the church during the times of revival and reformation. We just don't picture ourselves in that manner. But the courage I'm referring to, we're not all going to be called to do that. But the courage we are talking about that we need to be able to do is whatever God calls us to do, we need to be able to step forward on a daily basis and do what he calls us to do. Now, many of us wouldn't probably identify with Joshua, the Joshua that we know of, that we think about as far as taking over from Moses and leading the Israelites into the promised land. But at first, God knew there was fear in Joshua. He had to tell him several times, be courageous, be strong. Not once, but several times he had to tell him. Many of us may relate more to Joshua when he was younger, before he became the leader of the Israel people. He first felt, as the children of Israel were ready to leave the wilderness behind and enter God's promised land, Joshua first was an assistant to Moses. He wasn't the leader. He wasn't the leader. God had to tell him again, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." God had to tell him again to be courageous and strong. Could Joshua have been like us, just weak and incapable of, felt like he was too weak and incapable of doing the task that God called him to do? Could have been that Joshua, just like us, needed the strength and assurance to stand and take the promises of God? Could this be the reason why God had to encourage him, which basically means God gave him the courage, so that he could fulfill his purpose that God called him to do? It wasn't Joshua that had the courage. God gave him the courage. He wasn't any different than what we were. He just had the courage to step forward, venture out, and take a stand and do what God called him to do. There's a lot to be learned from Joshua's conversations with God, and the topic is, and what the topic this evening is about, courage. But the reason I chose Joshua was because he resembles us in that he had the fear, and he didn't start out as a leader of the people of Israel. He was a follower, and he learned to follow what God told him to do. Winston Churchill once said, "Without courage, all other virtues lose their meaning." And as I stated earlier, courage is basic and essential to exercising any of all of our other virtues that we have. And Martin Luther King Jr. assessed that courage, saying, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy." So it's not so much what the situation is. It's just have the courage and the faith that God has called you to take a stand and stand behind the convictions that you have. Right? So that's really what I wanted to cover on is the fact that it is essential and it is basic to our daily lives as far as to have the courage. And don't be afraid to admit to yourself that you have the courage to take a stand. Or tell your family members that you have the courage to stand. You know, set the example. It doesn't have to be anything major. By doing the small steps prepares you for the larger tests and trials that you're going to face. The more you step out in courage and take that step, that stand with the little things and continue, and you're consistent and persistent on standing forth and standing with conviction, then the larger things will be easier to step forward and take a stand as well. And I said that the second thing I wanted to talk about is, what are the qualities required to have courage? Well, Joshua is a faithful. The first one is be faithful. There's really three qualities, and the first one is faithful. Joshua was a faithful servant. In Joshua 1:1, it said, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant." So as I said, Joshua started as an assistant. He realized long before he became a leader that his role was to be an assistant, and he was okay with that. He was fine with that. He was faithful to do what God called him to do. And for 40 years, Joshua faithfully served Moses and was his assistant and servant for 40 years. He didn't rebel against Moses, and he didn't complain about all the hardships that took place. He didn't complain about what Moses was doing right or that what he was doing wrong. He faithfully served behind the scenes. He did what God called him to do, and he became a faithful servant and a follower of Moses as God called him to do. And one of the first things is anybody that's gone to any leadership schools or classes or knows anything about leadership, the first thing a leader must learn to do, he must first be a faithful follower before you can learn to lead. You have to be a faithful follower to understand how to treat and to deal with people that you are leading. For Moses to fulfill his calling, he needed Joshua to be his follower, to be his servant, to assist him. He needed him in that position. And Joshua did it with courage and conviction. He did as God called him to do. And he was called to obey God's will and be faithful for whatever he was given. And it's because he was faithful to his calling that eventually was raised to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And that's where, if we're faithful to our calling, then we can have harmony in the church and harmony in the kingdom of God here on earth. But the question is, are we going to be faithful to what God calls us to do? What little thing could be? It could be something large. It could be something very, very small. But whatever God calls us to, we need to be listening. We need to be ready. We need to obey. And we need to be faithful in the work that we do for our God. In the parable of the talents, which most of you, I'm sure you know, the parable of the talents, which is Matthew 25:21. It's in those where Jesus said that the Lord would reward those servants who faithfully handled that which he graciously gave. And so what we want to hear is like parable 25:21, the parable of the talents, is the one thing we want to hear when we stand before God is, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Therefore, we need to be faithful in whatever God calls us to do. Whatever he calls us to do. The strength that Joshua possessed, the promised land, because he was faithful in what he was called to do. And it's the same for us. As long as we are faithful, God will fulfill his promise and give us the inheritance that he has promised us. The second quality that you need to have for courage is to be filled with God's word. We live in a world of today, of instant internet, the internet, instant access. We want all the information. We want everything right now. It's a situation that, just as the story with the Tim Tebow, people making a decision that on some very little bit of information, they just want to respond, make their comments, get the information out there, regardless of what the facts are. But this world is so wrapped up in instant access, and even things such as righteousness and holiness. People think they're going to get righteousness and holiness instantly. Like there's a fast food drive-through at a church to get holiness to go, or there's a five-step program to get holiness, or there's a special formula to get holiness and righteousness. But there's no fast steps to that. Holiness and righteousness is what God wants for us. But it means spending time with God and in his word. That's the only way to do it, is to spend the time in the Word, to be courageous. As Joshua, he needed to be filled with God's Word. And I'm going to read the Joshua 1:8 again, because from this we find out that there's three things that you need in order to be filled with God's Word. 1:8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. The three things that you need to take place, the first one is you need to know God's word. As I said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In order to be able to speak God's word, you need to know God's word. Jesus was able to effectively thwart Satan in his temptations and other temptations and other obstacles and adversaries because he knew the word. He understood the word. He used it in his defense and was always able to put them in their place because he knew the word. There was no question of the authority that he spoke with. And he used it effectively as a weapon against Satan at all times. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul told Timothy to be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're going to rightly divide the word of truth, then you know need to know the word of God. So we need to constantly be in God's word, learning what it says in order that we can live an effective and courageous life. The second thing we need to be filled with God's word is meditate on God's word. As I said, you shall meditate in it day and night. To meditate on God's word means to ponder on it, to think about it, to turn it over and over in your head, and just and maybe in a crude analogy is like a cow chewing cud. He keeps chewing it and chewing it and chewing it, but he keeps going over it and over it and over it in order to bring it back, in order to make it part of his body. This is what Mary did when she was told that from her the Messiah, the Son of God, would be born. In Luke 2:19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. What Mary did was she meditated, she pondered this awesome information that she had, this also awesome blessing that she was going to have. She had to wrap her mind around that for one thing, and then really come to a complete understanding to where it's finally entrenched within her heart and accepted as far as part of who she is, and meditate on you. And it's something that you have to go over and over. And so we need to be doing that with God's word. And the word meditate in the Hebrew language is called hega. And it means not only to go over a matter in our minds, but to literally mutter it. In a way, we're talking to ourselves, or we're talking the word of God into ourselves is what we're doing. And just as I'm preparing for a presentation or a teaching, or somebody's preparing to try to memorize a poem or an interview, you don't just read over what's going on. Most people will start muttering to themselves, talking to themselves, whether it's in a mirror or something. They're talking to themselves, but they're muttering it so they can entrench that, not just within their mind, but they've got to entrench that in their very being and in their heart. And so the Lord is confirming here that it's a direct connection between the mind, the heart, and the mouth. In Proverbs 23:7 and Luke 6:45, the scripture says that as a person thinks in their heart, that is who they are. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's important to meditate on the word of God so that it becomes entrenched within your heart. And that's coming from your heart. When you're speaking and speaking with authority and have the courage to speak, you're speaking from your heart, but you're speaking from the word of God. And the third thing you need is to be able to apply the word of God, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, is what it says in Joshua. We need to obey and apply God's word to our lives. James 1:22, James says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." James is basically saying that we're only deceiving ourselves when we're not doing what we say we believe in. Like I said, another way is either we start getting interactive with God's word, by obeying it, or God's going to get interactive with us in judgment. That's basically what James is telling us. If we want to enter into the promises of God, then we need to start obeying what God has asked us to do and applying his word in our lives on a daily basis. Be faithful and be filled with the word of God. And the third quality we need to focus on is trust. We need to trust in God. As I said, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Trust in him. He's going to be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:6, the Lord told Joshua again, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Joshua's courage hinged on his trusting God at his word. And it's inherent upon us to trust God in his word. What he promises, he will fulfill. He's faithful, and he keeps his promises, just as Joshua 1:6, which I swore to their fathers to give them. God will fulfill that whatever he promises for us. Deuteronomy 21:20-4 says, God told the Israelites, when you go out to battle against your enemies, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Put your trust in God in all circumstances, no matter what the level of it, of concern or the battle that you're fighting. Put your trust in God. There's nobody else that you can trust like him. As I said, he will fulfill his promise to us. Solomon said in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So we need to trust God, and that's hard to do. So many today want to compromise more to what they're liking, whatever's more to their liking, and they don't feel they have the courage. The courage has been stripped from them. They want to just live in either convenience or comfort. It's just like Samson's hair was shorn from him. It's like our strength has been shorn from us because we don't have the courage to venture out faithfully, filled with God's word, and trusting in God. We trust in ourselves. And we fear, we know ourselves. And so we fear what's going to happen. And so we don't take a stand. We don't take those steps. We don't venture out. We don't persevere when it gets tough. But our mission as Christians is to make a difference in our lives, our homes, our church, and the community around us. And so it takes courage to make a difference. And God gave us the opportunity, gave us the Spirit, the power to have the courage. He gave us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what is doing the battle for us. It's a supernatural war that we're in at this time. And so we need to be aware that we're in a supernatural war. We are battling evil, and we're battling the evil and the sin within ourselves. But God has provided us the Holy Spirit to help us with that battle, to give us the courage, to give us the strength to fight that battle, to win that battle. So what I want to do is, again, I guess inspiration, as I said, the movie The Courageous, that spoke to me. I just want to kind of return to it to kind of finish up here in a little bit. I don't know if many of you know the movie, but there's a part, and there's a main character who's a sheriff, and there's a group of sheriffs and deputies that are all fathers and are all Christian men. But there's a tragedy that this one father in particular, to kind of focus on him. He has a daughter and a son, and a daughter he loves dearly. The son he loves, but he doesn't focus much attention on the son. He just kind of ignores him. He's a little bit too much trouble. He doesn't want to do what the son wants to do. And so the son has a little bit of bitterness towards him. And so they just don't have the great relationship. So it's not easy for him to reach out to his son. His daughter loves him, adores him. So it's very, very, very easy for him to spend the time and do whatever she asks most of the time. But there's one scene in the movie where he's sitting in his truck, and they're by a park, and he's sitting in the truck, and they're getting ready for a father-daughter dance. And the daughter jumps out of the truck, and she's dancing around the park and wants him to get out of the truck and dance with her. And he just doesn't feel comfortable doing it. He's a little bit embarrassed. He says, no. He says, we've got plenty of time before the dance. He says, I'll dance with you and everything, but no, I just don't want to do it. Well, a tragic incident happens. Daughter goes to spend the night with a friend before the father-daughter dance, and there's a car wreck, and she's killed. And so, obviously, his world's turned upside down. And that's where the inspiration for this message comes from, is the challenge, the tragedy that this father was faced with, dealing with, which is about as bad as tragedy as any of us can imagine when losing a child. And realizing how much he loved her, but he also came to realization that being a real father, he still was a father. He still had a son. And now he needed to focus his time on son. But that was a battle he was struggling with. And what he turned to was his faith. He turned to his faith. And his whole focus was, in his conversation and his relationship with the rest of the police officers, the sheriffs and deputies, was faith-based. And he got more into the Word. He got spending more and more time into the Word to be filled with the Word of God and everything. So he had a basis to try to get the answers as to what had happened and to continue to build his courage, his understanding of what's going on. And then he put his full trust in God. Whatever God wanted, he was going to do. And from that, he had the conviction that he was going to do whatever he needed to do in order to be the father and the spiritual leader that he needed to be within his home and his family, to his church, and to the community where he served as a police officer. And so that's where he wrote the resolution. And in the book, the resolution, each of the chapters is describing each of the resolutions and defines and goes in that. So I recommend that book, The Resolution for Men, and they've also written a book, The Resolution for Women, as well. I haven't read that one. But it shows the strength and resolve of both men and women. But the resolution in the movie was presented in the book. It's presented as a statement, a resolution of 11 statements. In the movie, it's more in a question form. And so I'm going to read the resolution here more in a question form and the way it was done in the movie. Not going to be as dramatic, as impactful as what it was in the movie, but the substance is the same. The substance is the same. And he started the resolution, "I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children." And the first resolution, "Who will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as the spiritual leader of the home? I will. Who will be faithful to their wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down his life for her as Jesus Christ did for me? I will. Who will bless their children and teach them to love God with all their hearts, all their minds, and all of their strength? I will. Who will train them to honor authority and live responsibly? I will. Who will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy? I will. Who will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion? I will. Who will work diligently to provide for the needs of their family? I will. Who will forgive those who have wronged them and reconcile with those they have wronged? I will. Who will learn from their mistakes, repent of their sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God? I will. Who will seek to honor God, be faithful to his church, obey his word, and do his will? I will. Who will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of their life and for his glory? I will. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So when we become faithful and filled with God's word and trust God, no matter what the circumstances are, then we'll be those men and women of courage in our daily life, and we'll be courageous Christians and set the example of what a Christian should be, with the ability and the desire to stand as witnesses of our faith, the convictions that we make, and the love for our God. So it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to be responsible, be the police of our own lives, and take responsibility for our lives and step in with courage in the actions we take, and to stand as a Christian and a faithful Christian follower that loves Jesus Christ and our Lord and Savior. With that, let's pray.